in my humble way. I'm the USA. Though I represent the government don't represent some policies I'm for. Oh, we learn to be concerned about the constitutionality. In our nation, segregation isn't a legality. Soon our only differences will be in personality. That's what I stand for. Who's the real ambassador? Yes, the real ambassador.
In his humble way, he's the USA. Though he represents the government don't represent some policies he's for. Oh, we learn to be concerned about the constitutionality. In our nation, segregation isn't a legality. Soon our only differences will be in personality.
That's what I stand for.
He's the real ambassador.
The Real Ambassador, the title track of an album that had songs from a musical written by Dave and Iola Brubeck, featuring Louis Armstrong, Lambert Hendricks and Ross and the Brubeck Trio, of Dave on piano with Gene Wright bass and Joe Morello drums, in September 1961. And that's all from me, Alan Shipton, on Jazz Record Request for this week. I'll be back at the same time next week. And now, with the time coming up to 6 o'clock, it's time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. On today's show, an interview with saxophonist Tim Garland and a profile of his brand new album from his Lighthouse project, featuring tantalising sounds like this. Plus, Kevin Lejeune is here for our regular monthly feature, Now's the Time. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Claire.
What album from recent times have you unearthed for us this month, and why have you chosen it?
It's Jaco Pastorius' 1981 classic Word of Mouth, which I think is a brilliant album because it takes you by surprise. It's not just about his bass playing, it's about these fabulous orchestrations.
More from Jaco Pastorius later on in the show. But first up, a brand new CD on the Babel label, who celebrate their 20th anniversary this year. And it's a recording by Swedish-born singer Emilia Martinsson. She's been in the UK for over a decade and was the Observer's new face of British jazz in 2012. This is her second album, and it's called Anna, and was released earlier this month, and demonstrates beautifully her evolution as both a songwriter and performer. It's a personal album dedicated to her grandparents. Anna is her grandmother's name, and Emilia says her aim was to link together all her different musical influences. Let's hear the beautiful opening track, Harvest Moon.
If a heart breaks all alone, does it make a sound? And would anybody listen if it was booming all around? Like the last tree crashing down. But can't hear ourselves falling. We can see, but can't hear ourselves falling. Thank you. Forget what's been and gone. It's from the death of innocence that true love can be born. And if not now, then someday soon. We will lie in love again. We will lie in love again, babe. We will lie in love.
Amelia Martinson with Harvest Moon, taken from her new release, Anna. And she was joined by Barry Green on piano, Sam Lasserson on bass, and Adriano Adewale on percussion. You can hear her sing this new material on the 25th of April if you go to the Fleece Jazz at Stoke by Nayland Hotel, and that's in Colchester. Let's hear something more now from the percussionist that you just heard playing with Amelia, Brazilian percussionist Adriano Adewale. After the critically acclaimed debut album, Sementes, his group returned with their second album entitled Razes, which is Portuguese for roots. The album is about uniqueness and commonness in us all, and it honours people's roots, celebrating the differences which make us all the same. Let's hear jazz with Cora, African harp, and hear Mother Rain.
Thank you.
From the album Razors, out on the Caboclo record label, that was percussionist Adriano Adewale and his multi-instrumental London-based quartet delivering delicate shades of rootsy, African-inflected jazz. And that was the track Mother Rain. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Stay tuned for a special interview and profile from a brand new album from saxophonist Tim Garland. Well, time now for our regular monthly feature, Now's the Time with Kevin Ajomra, where he shines a light on an album from the recent past worthy of recognition. And this month, an album by legendary bassist Jaco Pastorius, it's Word of Mouth. What's so special about this recording, Kevin?
I think it's the fact that it takes people by surprise, because Jaco's moniker is the world's greatest bass player, this electric bass, fretless bass revolutionary. And this is really about his composing. I think this reminds us that he was a great writer as well as a great player. There's a picture that I associate with this album, which is actually him sat at the piano with a pencil in his mouth and some manuscript paper next to him. And it really just underlines, it kind of symbolises this other side of him, which is not talked about enough. Mm. That is somebody who could write in a very lyrical way, but also had some, I think, really advanced ideas about orchestration and actually how to put bands together, because this is a big band session.
Yes.
With a lot of very complex scoring. And I think the way that he manages to stamp his personality as a storyteller, not just a musician and a bass player, but a storyteller who could work with all these colours, it really is quite special on this record.
It's a very diverse album. He's lots of influence. It's especially Herbie Hancock and Gil Evans. Of course, he was inspired by them. And this piece we're going to play first, it's such a brilliant melody, and the voices, and it's Three Views of a Secret. My favourite, actually. So melodic.
So melodic, so lyrical, and it has this wonderful swaying quality. It's a ballad that grooves. Mm. You know, the tempo is kind of waltzy, and it really just, it's a finger-snapping tune, yet at the same time, it has all of this energy which he tightly grips, and he gives you all of this detail in the orchestrations. And the other thing as well, which I think is really, really interesting, is Toots Thielemans, this harmonica player from Belgium, who emerges as, I think, the featured soloist on this record.
Yeah, he is.
He's so prominent throughout, and he kind of... He lays down his marker on this track, and then he just grows and grows throughout the album. But this is very, very special, as I say, a very swaying, very inviting piece of music, which you can dance to as well as listen to.
Let's hear it. It's from Word of Mouth, the featured album. It's Three Views of a Secret, and of course, Jaco Pastorius. Thank you. Three Views of a Secret, and we're talking about Word of Mouth by Jaco Pastorius. Kevin, you were talking about Toots Thielemans there. Another thing it displays, I thought interestingly, was that he was in Belgium when he recorded that, and it was a testament to Jaco's production ability as well, that he had sessions going on the West Coast and the East Coast of America, and he brought it all together on this record. So it really showed him as a real all-round clever clogs, really.
This is Jaco Pastorius' Cecil B. DeMille moment.
Yeah.
Because the cast list on this record is just, it's unbelievable. Peter Erskine, Jack DeJohnette, Don Elias, Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, Tom Scott, Michael Brecker, and so on and so forth. And you're right, it's the way that he pulls all of these personalities together. The other interesting little subtext is that apparently there was a contractual dispute with his previous record label, CBS, who said that he owed them one more record. So this album, Word of Mouth, was released on Warner. And the compromise was that he could use some of the CBS staff, people like Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter, that he'd been collaborating before, but he wasn't allowed to credit them.
Mm.
And that gave the record, I think, an air of mystery, because when it was released in 1981...
No one knew the lineup.
Nobody knew who the musicians were, because the personnel wasn't actually listed on the record. And you can hear Wayne Shorter when he starts to play, obviously, and you kind of recognise Herbie as well. But I think that gives it this other little level of mystery. It's like, okay, here's a record with a sleeve without any names on it, and then it's like half of the jazz fraternity is gonna be revealed as these tracks fly past.
What's the next track you've chosen?
The next track I've chosen is, I think, the centrepiece of the record. It's a 12-minute epic called Liberty City. And again, I think the complexity of the lines, especially the opening kind of fanfare, with these very, very long kind of swirling lines, which to me, they bring to mind Loose Tubes.
Okay.
You know, I never realised at the time when I was listening to this record, sort of way back when, how influential it could have been. But the whole kind of flavour of the writing and the melodies, a sort of complex yet at the same time grooving.
Mm,
I think
catchy.
There's a sort of a Loose Tubes Django Bates connection there.
Well, let's hear Liberty City in its entirety from Word of Mouth, Jaco Pastorius. Thank you.
Thank you.
from Word of Mouth. That was Jaco Pastorius and Liberty City. Kevin Ajomra is here for our regular monthly feature, Now's the Time. Kevin, real vast amounts of colours and, you know, distorted bass and everything on this, really, isn't there? He said quite a lot with this one album.
I suppose you could say that he's throwing the kitchen sink in, as well as the fretless bass, but it all works. I mean, the other thing as well is that the range of sounds and the range of instruments that he uses, I think, is also very important. On that track, the steel pan played by Othello Molyneux from Trinidad, I think, is really important. And the way that he was harmonising the steel pan with a harmonica as well is just a very unusual thing to do, which I don't think happens very often. And
it's not the sort of thing you think of, is
no,
it?
Exactly.
Harmonica and steel pan.
Steel pan and harmonica together. You know, bringing these instruments together with the percussion as well. The percussion played by Don Elias is very important. Mm. And I think at times there's a very, very strong, almost like a reggae feel to some of the passages on this record, not just on this track, but on other tracks as well. Whether it was a commercial success or not, I'd put my hand on my heart and say that this is his definitive artistic statement. The record that everybody refers to, which is also a great record, Jaco Pastorius, which came out in 1976, has this amazing display of virtuoso playing. But I just really, really like the writing on this record. And the fact that on some of the tracks, he's not doing that much, which to me is a sign of a great musician, somebody who can do a lot, but only does what's necessary to serve the song. Mm. I think he's really doing that here.
And he's gone from, I mean, the Chromatic Fantasy is the sort of Bach solo bass piece. And then there's this, you know, Aaron Copland inspired John and Mary. But now this piece, the last piece we're playing, is a Beatles song. So this is just showing us all the stuff that he listens to.
Stylistically, it's really, really wide. Yeah, which just goes to show that even though he was a great jazz musician and a great improviser, he was also somebody who was really deeply rooted in pop culture. He'd obviously listened to the Beatles and played Beatles songs when he was coming up. He'd listened to James Brown, he'd listened to funk, he played in R&B groups. And I think all of that is in the mix as well. You know, it's a very, very complex album. It's very intricate in terms of the charts and the arranging. But it also has these wonderful grooves and these really nice songs as well. And this is the, I suppose, the epitome of that, a great version of the Beatles' Blackbird.
I wonder how many bass players try and play this in their bedrooms when they're getting into electric basses. It's classic, isn't it, what he does? Not too much, understated, but just beautiful.
Absolutely. But the other thing about this track that I really like as well is the amount of space in it and the way that they use the percussion in a very fragmented way. Just when you're not expecting it, you hear this cymbal crash or a little roll or a timpani effect, or there'll be a kind of ripple of bongo or something. And the sounds are very stark.
Sometimes it sounds like someone's sort of screaming and hollering in the background, doesn't it?
There's this kind of wordless vocal that comes in at the end, which is the other part of the magic of the whole record, is that, as we were saying, it's very joyous in places. It's very swaying. It's very lyrical. But there's a kind of darkness to it as well, I think, in some of the sounds that he uses that are sinister. You know, and I think that juxtaposition of kind of light and dark is part of the richness.
And it's kind of summed up his mental state, didn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's that kind of symbolism there as well.
Yeah. Let's hear the Beatles track Blackbird from Jaco Pastorius' album Word of Mouth. Thank you. That was the third track from Word of Mouth, Jaco Pastorius playing Blackbird. Kevin, thanks very much. That's been one of my favourite. Now's the time. Can we get this CD now? Easy to get?
We can. It's just been reissued by Warner Records.
Brilliant. This is Jazz Line Up on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, online, on FM and on DAB Digital Radio. Led Bibb was formed in 2003 by drummer-composer Mark Hollub and played its first gig a year later. Well, after the initial success of three very well-received albums, it was their fourth release, Sensible Shoes, that gave them widespread acclaim, following the announcement they were chosen as Album of the Year in 2009's Mercury Music Awards. Well, their musical influences are wide-ranging, from Pink Floyd to Miles Davis, and Time Out describes them as a lean, mean, improv rockin' jazz machine. Well, this next track is taken from their new album, The People in Your Neighbourhood, and it's Angry Waters, Lost to Sea. From the new album out on the Cuneiform Records and released on Monday the 21st of April, that was Lead Bib with Angry Waters Lost to Sea. And the band embark on a major UK tour starting next week and will be kicking off on the 22nd at St Ives Jazz Club in Cornwall. They're in my hometown of Brighton at The Hope on the 24th, and their album launch residency on the 1st, 2nd of May will take place at The Vortex in London. But for more information on all their dates up and down the UK, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup website. Saxophonist and composer Tim Garland has mastered everything from Celtic music to Yellow Jackets fusion, free improvisation to classical performance, from ECM to left field electronica. Before I talk to him about his new release, an ambitious double CD called Songs to the North Sky, let's hear a track from the first CD, which features Lighthouse, Garland's small group, who are celebrating a decade of existence. This is Yes to This.
Thank you.
yes to this, taken from the new CD from Tim Garland's Songs to the North Sky. And I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Tim to tell me about this project. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, tell us about this and why it's been so long in the making, because it's quite epic, this project for you, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, as you probably know, I've done quite a lot of things with orchestras over the last 10 years. And Songs to the North Sky was something which I wrote for the Royal Northern Sinfonia. And it's very much themed around the Northeast, where I spent a lot of time over the last 10 years. It took almost 2 years actually to sort of complete, but even then we thought, well, as it's kind of very orchestral for a jazz CD, we better wait until I do a small band project and then we can release the two together.
It's a big listen.
It is, I guess, yeah. I wanted to make absolutely sure I broke things up into kind of bite-sized chunks though, because, you know, people aren't used to listening to, you know, huge, long, kind of epic symphonies anymore, and neither am I, you know. So a lot of these things are sort of 4 or 5 minutes long, and they're kind of a theme and variations, but the variations really turn the theme on their head, so and your expectations quite often are quite sort of confounded. But that's what we do in jazz so often, isn't it? You know, we mess with ideas and go off tangentially.
We've got some amazing musicians on this record, Tim. Some are old friends that you've worked with for years, and some are new additions. So mention a few names that we'd be... I mean, of course, John Patitucci springs to mind, Jeffrey Keyser, I mean, Americans.
Yeah,
but
that's it. Well, John and Jeffrey I've worked with, fortunately, for many years now, and it was great that they were both able to sort of beam over their contributions to the album without actually having to come over.
Really? Yeah. All the John Patitucci stuff, which sounds like he's just in amongst it all, was done separately. That's brilliant.
In New Jersey, and Keyser beamed over his stuff from California, which we were able to do, which was fantastic. But on Yes to This, which you've recently heard, John Turville was the piano player, and I was blown away by his contribution to the whole album. There's another young guitarist who I've worked with for the first time called Ant Law. Masterly musicians all. And another old friend, of course, who an absolute delight to work with again, Jason Robello, who we'll be touring with. We're doing quite a lot of live work together now, and we're all gearing up to for the official album launch on May the 30th at King's Place.
Right, very nice. Oh, that'd be a beautiful hall for that.
Yeah. And
how many piece band for that?
Well, there's a core. Lighthouse was sort of an expandable trio. Gwilym Simcock was in the band right from its birth. Gwilym, of course, is deservedly out sort of trailblazing across the world now, and it gives me the opportunity to work with other piano players. And Asaf Serkis on percussion, of course, made up the core trio, a bassless trio. But Ant Law is going to be joining us on that one, so that's a quartet. But I also have 8 cellists, and Cellophony are a young cello octet, all virtuoso. And they will be sort of shoehorning us around the band, you know.
Lovely.
It'll be an amazing sound.
Oh, that's going to be great. But the Lighthouse material must have been rich pickings because, you know, 10 years together. So when you chose material for one of these albums, as we said, it's a double album, how did you choose it, or did you compose especially for it?
It was composed especially for it, but we had so much, say Asaf and myself, we've travelled the world so many times now with the band, that I know his playing so well and the kind of percussion sounds that he uses, that the more you know your musicians, the easier it is to write for them, you know. Jason as well, as someone, although I've not played with him for so long. He was off working with Sting and then Jeff Beck, and then I was off working with...
Sorry, who? Sorry.
And I was off with Chick Corea, of course, and so we, you know, our paths seldom crossed. But when we sat down and played together, it was like old times. We'd known each other for 25 years.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's nice.
So, and that makes the whole composition process a lot easier, bringing out everybody's strengths, not just your own. Whoever comes in and plays piano in this band, because we seldom work with a bass player, we do sometimes, you've got to have an amazing left hand. And of course, all of these piano players I'm working with, thank goodness, they can do incredible things with their left hand. So it sounds very, very full. You never miss the absence of any bass end.
Before we play the next piece, you know, you talk about being in the North and living in the North, raising children in the North. Are you more inspired to write? And lots of these places you've mentioned, we're going to play Stormover, Kielder.
Mm-hmm.
Are you more inspired as a writer from places up north of the M25?
I think what's inspired this is the fact of, it feels sort of almost negative to say it, but it's a feeling of constant displacement, which we're all used to as musicians. You know, when you travel a lot and you wake up and you're somewhere different all of the time. But when I had to actually split my home life as well, being in London a lot and then in the Northeast, which was just a necessary thing we decided early on, it was very much about the travel between these two places and the relative kind of wildness of that area of our country, which is very beautiful and very, you know, mysterious. The weather is changing all the time. Mm. This is the Northeast, so Kielder, of course, many people up there will know. As a Londoner, when you're there, you kind of have to pinch yourself and say, am I still in the UK?
Wow. You know. Okay.
And so that's what struck me, and it was really inspiring. As I say, with these kind of, a little bit like Scotland in the way that you look up and the weather has changed in the next 5 minutes. And that, I thought, was a perfect vehicle for the use of symphonic strings.
Well, let's hear now from Tim Garland's new project with these wonderful string players, and it is Storm Over Kielder. from Tim Garland's new album, that was Storm Over Kilda. Tim, do you think the years of playing with Chick Corea, you just mentioned him earlier, has given you more confidence as a player and as a writer?
Both, most definitely. And I would say a lot of that is down to Chick himself, who's such a generous band leader. He's obviously really, really experienced.
Mm. How long have you been in the band with him?
Well, on and off for 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
14 years, that's flown by.
On and off, and about four different bands as well, because he's always doing lots of different projects.
Right.
And some of that time was sort of writing and orchestrating for him as well. So we got to know each other really, really well.
And what's he like as a teacher?
I would say kind of humble in a way, because, it's a question of asking the right questions often, you know.
Okay. But he's very open to share
totally.
Knowledge and to steer you.
And, I was saying, we did 65 concerts last year together. And on the last one, which was at the Blue Note in New York, I just gave him a big hug and I said, I think you're the most inspiring guy I've ever met. And I meant it, you know, because he's, 73, 72? And you'd never want to feel as if you're fatigued when you're around him, because he never looks fatigued. Mm. And so he pulls out the best in yourself when you work with someone like that.
65 gigs last year with Chick Corea. That's really something. Well done, you. So it's a double album, and it's on Edition Records, your first outing with them.
I'm so pleased, actually, to keep this within the UK, because I had significant interest from about three labels all in the States. And
that's good.
Well, yeah, although, you see, kind of arranging meetings is difficult, isn't it? You know, when someone's in, like, Hollywood or, you know, New Jersey or something.
Yeah, and you're in Balham.
Wembley, yeah, most of the time. So Edition, Dave Stapleton, who runs that label, it's growing fast. They're very serious. They're very European-minded.
Great stable of artists, actually. Every time I see a new release, there it is, Edition again.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Phronesis, for example, you know, and I thought that they would do a sort of a good job, and I could meet up with them and it would be homegrown. I mean, after all, this is, I suppose, kind of international and very local at the same time, this kind of music. So with a lot of titles alluding to the UK, wouldn't it be great to keep it within the UK?
Sure, brilliant. Well, let's play a final track, and this one I really like, because, you know, we all talk about being on the road, and Lullaby of the Road, lovely title. Tell us about the inspiration for this piece.
Sure, yeah. Well, as you know, as a father with kids who are growing very quickly, when you're on the road a lot...
Do you Skype them a lot?
Yeah, I do.
Is that a mum thing?
Yeah, no, that Skyping is great. I mean, it's a lot easier, of course. Now, I still have a few faxes, of course, where you'd be staying at this really posh hotel somewhere in Europe, and some concierge would come running up, you know, to you in the corridor.
Oh, with a drawing.
You have a fax, with a little crayon drawing from back home, you know, and it's very sweet. But now, of course, it is a lot easier. But yes, you have to be prepared to miss quite a lot of, you know, the it's a choice you make. Mm. And I just remember so many times missing those moments where you're sort of, you know, tucking the children up into bed or whatever.
Sure.
And you're out somewhere, literally kind of, you know, driving or in the air or whatever. And so this piece, Lullaby from the Road, was really my... sort of, you know, it was almost an apology, actually, when I wrote it. Say, well, wherever
but
I am, I'm thinking.
Do
of
they
you.
Understand? Do they get what you do? And they see you often on stage. I mean, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I always think, oh, it's harder being a mum being on the road, but it's equally hard for a father being apart from children, isn't it? I mean,
yes, it is.
Would you change it if you could go back? Would you change anything?
That's a tough question, isn't it? Funnily enough, I've never been asked that before. I know that when my son was really young, someone asked him, so do you want to be a musician like your dad? And he said, no. I said, oh, why is that? And I was, well, music's the thing that takes daddy away.
Mm. Oh, bless
him. And I hadn't really kind of thought in those terms before. But anyway, I think that they sort of dig it now.
They get it. They get it. Well, congratulations. I think it's a fantastic credit to you and your wonderful writing. Two great albums together. Tim Garland's new project. And we're going to play Lullaby of the Road. Congratulations and see you at King's Place.
Yeah, thanks so much, Claire. Thank you.
Lullaby of the Road, and our thanks to Tim Garland, who'll be launching his new CD, Songs to the North Sky, on May the 30th at King's Place in London. And the album will be released on Edition Records on June the 2nd. For more information on Tim, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage via the Radio 3 website. Well, staying with the saxophone, another new release and debut CD now, this time from British saxophonist, flautist and violinist Tori Freestone, who regularly performs at the forefront of the UK music scene, both as a highly regarded band leader and as a side woman. Her debut, entitled In the Chop House, the name of a favourite watering hole, is a widely anticipated release and features past and present compositions by Freestone that lend themselves to the sparser trio format of drums, bass and sax. Joining Tori are her longtime musical associates, Dave Mannington on double bass and Tim Giles on drums. I really love this opening track, Bubble and Squeak. Thank you. from the album In the Chop House, which is released on April the 21st with a launch on April the 22nd. That was saxophonist Tori Freestone with Bubble and Squeak. And that launch at the Forge in Camden will be part of a double bill with fellow Whirlwind recording artist, trumpeter Rory Simmons, who will be releasing his new album, Southern Drawl, on the 28th of April. And I'm looking forward to hearing that. And I wish them both good luck at the Forge on that launch date, the 22nd of April. Well, that's nearly it from Jazz Lineup this week. But don't forget, there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. And this week, Jez presents music from New York composer and guitarist Elliot Sharp. But to sign off with tonight, let's hear from saxophonist Julian Arguelles, who's established himself as one of Europe's very finest jazz musicians. He first found fame as a member of maverick big band Loose Tubes, who've recently reformed, and he performs regularly with internationally celebrated artists including Carla Bley, Kenny Wheeler and Steve Swallow. His new release, Circularity, is a collection of 8 original pieces, and he's teamed up with a real all-star trio of John Taylor on the piano, bass legend Dave Holland and Martin France on drums. So let's close with Julian's great improvisational verve on the opening track of the CD, Triality. From me, Claire Martin, until next time, bye-bye.
Triality, performed by Julian Arguelles, and it ends this week's jazz lineup. The programme was presented by Claire Martin and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And for more information on jazz lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website.
Afternoon on 3 celebrates British music. From Monday, the BBC Symphony Orchestra, the BBC Singers and the Ulster Orchestra perform some of the key works from Britain's best-loved composers. From Tasman Little playing Walton's Violin Concerto to Sir Andrew Davis conducting Britain, we've got the cream of British talent performing works new and old. And there are two major works for chorus and orchestra by Elgar, The Dream of Gerontius on Monday and The Apostles on Thursday. Join me, Penny Gore, for British Music in Afternoon on 3, weekdays from 2 o'clock, or catch up with every note via the Radio 3 website.
It's a little after 7:30, time now for this evening's Radio 3 Live in Concert. It's from the Royal Festival Hall in London, and it's introduced by Christopher Cook.
And welcome to the Royal Festival Hall, and a concert by Britain's youngest professional orchestra. The musicians in the National Youth Orchestra have an average age that's just around 17. And tonight they're conducted by François-Xavier Roth in a programme that includes a pair of works that put any orchestra worth that name through its paces. After the interval, we're going to hear Richard Strauss's tone poem Ein Heldenleben, a gigantic portrait of, well, a gigantic ego. Richard Strauss's ego set to music. But first, echoes of a different kind of heroism. Survival in Thomas Addis's Asyla, a large orchestral work in four movements composed for the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra in 1997. Asyla is the plural of asylum, and Addis uses the word in two senses, as a place of refuge and a hospital for the insane. So in the opening movement, refugees are searching for a place of safety. Then in the second movement, we've been granted asylum, the traditional sanctuary offered by the Christian Church. Next comes ecstasy, with a bass drum thumping the orchestra in a dancing madness in perhaps a deafening London nightclub. The pounding percussion is a reminder that Thomas Addis is himself a graduate of this National Youth Orchestra, having played percussion with them as a teenager. In the final movement, it's, Addis has said, as if a window had been thrown open, we can breathe again. Applause for tonight's leader of the National Youth Orchestra, Roberto Luisi. Here now to conduct the National Youth Orchestra, in a performance of Thomas Addis's Asyla, is François-Xavier Roth.